When I think of purpose, you know, for me at its most foundational level, it's really living out what you were created to do. And so it's discovering that and then applying yourself fully towards that and living it out.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe that there are three distinct components of true wealth. Number one, living and having purpose. Number two, having an impact on other people. And number three, leaving a legacy on our loved ones and the community around us. And at the core of who we are as a business, that's what we try to do through our company and with our clients. If you want more information on our firm, just check out our website, taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with a gal by the name of Lynn Rotz. Lynn is a leadership coach and consultant at Giant Worldwide, as well as a mother of three young children and a former active duty Army officer. She believes that living with purpose begins with really identifying how each of us are uniquely and genuinely hardwired at the core. And in this podcast, Lynn will offer insight on how we can live and be leaders both at home and in the workplace with more passion and more purpose. Here's my conversation with Lynn Rotz. All right, I've got Lynn Rotz on the phone here today. Lynn, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me on the podcast here today.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So we met a while back. We've done a little bit of work together. We've done some leadership training. We've done some events where we've crossed paths. So we're kind of in this realm of living with purpose, really trying to live on a different level. Would you say that that's kind of the overarching theme to what you're all about?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So before we kind of get into more of that, let's talk about you and what do you do and more about kind of your resume. So tell me about yourself.
Sure. So my professional background includes being an active duty Army officer. So I was active duty for about 4.5 years. And of those 4.5 years, I spent 2 years assigned to the 16th Military Police Brigade out of Fort Bragg in North Carolina. And in my 2 years with the 16th Military Police Brigade, I spent 15 months deployed to Iraq. And so I really enjoyed my time as an Army officer for multiple reasons. On a personal level, I was able to learn a lot about myself and what is and maybe what is not a right fit in terms of my own purpose. But it also took my interest in leadership to an entirely new level. And so, like I said, I was active duty 4.5 years, and my husband and I have 3 boys. And so when our second was born, that's when I decided to get out and make a career change myself. So I spent some time home with my boys. I also took some time to go back to school and also pursue coaching certifications. And then I launched my own business in leadership coaching consulting. And so in my work today, I have the opportunity to work in both the career and leadership space, helping others really discover what their purpose is and to live that out, and then to also lead with passion and purpose.
Yeah.
So very blessed with the work I get to do today.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it certainly dovetails exactly as to the message we're trying to give on this podcast. Tell us more about your Army experience. Was that a while back? Obviously, you were in Iraq, so that wasn't probably recently. Tell us more about that.
Yes, it was a while back. So I was deployed back in like 2006, 2007, and it was a really unique experience for me in that I was essentially a human resources officer, but being assigned to a military police unit, we were responsible for detaining operations throughout the theater of operations. So my work varied so much on a daily basis. One minute you're in an office doing human resources type work, and the next you're out in a compound doing checks and making sure everything is going as it should be there. So definitely a unique experience, but one I'm incredibly grateful for.
Yeah, that is incredible. Well, first of all, thank you for your service and the time that you put in. That is quite a resume. But yeah, as far as like leadership training, what did you get out of that? I mean, you had to go through all the training as well. What is maybe something that you learned that you really enjoyed doing, and maybe some things that's not on my list of things I want to do anymore?
Sure. You know, I think what's kind of interesting about it is I think back on my training, probably most things fall into both of those categories where at the time, you know, they're not necessarily things you want to do again, from, oh my goodness, going through swamps and different weapons training and the gas chamber and
land navigation. Hold on, time out. The gas chamber? Tell me about that.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I remember my first time having to do the gas chamber training. So it's really to go in and make sure your mask is working and have confidence in your mask, and also know what to do if you're in a situation like that. So okay. Our very first time going in the gas chamber, several of the people I was in training with, they had been prior service enlisted, so they knew what to expect. I didn't. So we go in and, you know, we're in this, it's just this little dark building and they're having us kind of like just jog the perimeter of it. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, this isn't bad. I've got my mask on. It's working. I don't see what the problem is here. Well, then they have us all turn and face the wall. And I'm like, okay, now what are we doing? Well, then they start calling you in the middle one at a time and you have to take your mask off and they'll ask you questions until you've ingested enough of the gas that you start feeling the effects. And so by the time you've had enough, I mean, everybody just goes running out and it's not a pleasant or pretty experience with just things draining from about everywhere you can think of. So, wow. So yeah, unique training. But what I think I enjoyed most about it though, was just seeing, I know for me personally and seeing for others too, just what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And realizing how much of what you're asked to do is mental. Mm. There were individuals you'd see where maybe physically you're like, man, they have like every advantage and yet they'd really struggle on a mental level. But those who are mentally stronger could breeze through it. So that was very interesting just to observe and to even see personally what you're capable of if you really put your mind to it.
Yeah, I would connect with that in a certain way. And in no way, shape, or form am I trying to coincide that playing college sports was the same as being in the military. So hear me out. And trust me, I'm not trying to make that. I'm not making that a comparable thing. But I played college basketball and it was kind of the same thing. Like my body was pushed so beyond what I would ever push it in my everyday life. That I'm a huge advocate of sports for my kids and just in general, because it was the mental side. In fact, our coach did a phenomenal job of really teaching us MTXE is what he called it, mental toughness, extra effort. Mm-hmm. And that will carry you as a leader and as a person so far in life. And I remember when I got my first job out of college, I was doing TV weather, which is laughable going from being college basketball. And I remember somebody asked me, they said, is it hard making that transition? You know? And I was like, no, you know, like I'm getting my tail kicked 7 days a week physically and emotionally. And now I have to talk about weather for 3 minutes. So no, this is not a difficult transition. So again, thank you for your service and your time. And I'm sure that made an impact on you. Let's talk about just purpose in general.
Yes.
I tend to get people on the phone here and I just ask them this question. You can give me your version of this question. There's no right or wrong. I've kind of got my own definition of purpose, but how would you even just define that? Everybody's talking about this. Books are being written on this topic. How do you define purpose in your mind?
Mm-hmm. When I think of purpose, you know, for me at its most foundational level, it's really living out what you were created to do. And so it's discovering that and then applying yourself fully towards that and living it out. So when I think of purpose, that's really what comes to mind for me.
Hmm. Yeah. So, I think you come at it from a faith perspective, as do I. How do you go to that next level? You know, you go right into the faith side of it right away all the time. How do you broad brush that without going faith or maybe even going down the faith road?
Yeah. So like you said, I absolutely, my faith is central to who I am in my heart for honestly wanting to develop others and help other people understand and live out their purpose. But in part of that, and let me back up and just say in my work in leadership development, I do it in partnership with an organization called Giant Worldwide. And in that we use different visual tools to represent leadership concepts. And one of the basic tools we use is called Know Yourself to Lead Yourself. And I think there's a principle there that is so applicable to living out our purpose, and that we need to know even how God has wired us, how we've been created to really get at what our purpose is. And so I think there's a few different ways you can do that. I think one, just taking time for thought, and obviously from my faith perspective, prayer as well, but to give yourself that space. So many of us just kind of plow through life. We choose a direction and start running without really thinking, you know what, is this my purpose? Is this where I want to spend my time and focus my energy? So one, it's just taking the time to step back and think through some different questions about where you can make your highest contribution and where you can best apply yourself. And then on a very practical level, I'm personally a fan of different assessments. And so one of the assessments I really enjoy around helping people figure out how they're wired and maybe where they can best apply their strengths is Myers-Briggs. I love just getting at the tendencies and saying, okay, you know, here's how you're hardwired. And with that, you know, this is what that means for where you might be able to best live out your purpose. I also love StrengthsFinder as well. I think it's a great way and a great tool that can help people articulate things maybe they've known about themselves and known themselves to be good at, but just haven't had a way of expressing that. And so I love looking at the assessments like that to help people better uncover how they're wired and how that relates to their purpose and what God has for them.
Yeah. Do you think that your purpose changes? And again, this is just an off the cuff question that I'm interested to hear your opinion on this. Do you think that your you think you're born with it? I mean, you described it as it's why you're here on planet Earth. Okay, got it. Yep. Now, is that something that changes? Do you think that that's directly tied to our job? Is that something that never changes throughout life? How would you articulate that?
Yes, like a few really great questions there. I think the way I look at it, we're wired a certain way. And so you can think of it almost, there's this maybe core underlying purpose we have or area we're good at. So for me, when I think about that, what I've learned about myself, what I'm most passionate about and where I really feel my purpose is, it's in developing potential in others. So that's kind of the core of the purpose. Now, how I actually live that out, or maybe the vehicle I use to live that out, I think that can absolutely change over time. And so that's why I think it's so important to regularly take time to stop and reflect. You know, Jared, even considering your story, I think so many of us believe this, if you want to call it myth or lie or whatever you want to call it, but that we're supposed to have life figured out by, say, age 22, and that we choose this career, we choose this path, we choose this purpose, and we kind of set autopilot and run with it from there. And for most of us, that is just not reality. Hmm. But really figuring out our purpose and how we're going to live that out more specifically, it's an ongoing process. And I think it takes constant reevaluation and understanding we can't say yes to everything. And as you start diving into your purpose and living it out, more opportunities may come your way. And you need to, again, reevaluate and say, where am I spending my time? Is this, again, from a faith perspective, to ask, is this where God wants me to use my time? Am I supposed to continue on with this area, or does he have something new for me? And to be open to moving into new seasons and new ways that he may call you to live out your purpose is so important. Yeah. As for the job piece, for me personally, my career and purpose are very much interrelated. And I think for many people, that's the case. And when that is the case, you find your career incredibly fulfilling and satisfying, knowing you're living out your purpose in your career. Is it that way for everyone? I don't believe so. I think there's some individuals, you're going to have a job, and to some extent, maybe it pays the bills and it helps fund living out your greater purpose.
Right.
So you can have that dynamic as well. What I would say, though, is what's really important is to still do work you love. We spend so much of our time at work that, again, from a faith perspective, you know, God didn't create you the way he did with the gifts and abilities you have to spend so much of your life doing something that either you hate or maybe you're even not good at and not using the best of what you can offer. And so what I always encourage people when I do career coaching is to do work where you're working in your strengths at least 70% of the time. All jobs are going to have those aspects you don't love. And maybe the job you're in is not totally in alignment with your purpose. But if you can at least feel that you're giving from your strengths 70% of the time, you'll be in a good place.
I think that's really good advice. I think I have a theory. I have several theories, one of which you made me think of one. But I have a theory. I bet you most people, and maybe there's nothing scientific behind this theory, or there's no study or anything like that. But many people are not happy with their jobs.
Right.
And that's probably several reasons. One of which, like you just explained, it could be just a job, and it is what it is. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Like if there's a season of your life where you just have a job and that's just what you do and it pays the bills for now, but there's a deeper cause, there's a deeper sense of purpose and you're living for a deeper cause, that can be totally okay for a season. But I think we actually give our jobs too much clout. I think we give our jobs almost too much of a pedestal in our life. And lots of times I'll challenge groups to say, you know, you're kind of giving your job a role it's not supposed to have. You know, my job is tremendously fulfilling. It sounds like your job is tremendously fulfilling, but it's not actually the job itself that's doing that. The fulfillment comes from executing something deeper. You know, really tapping into those strengths and those God-given, you know, desires in our heart, you know. And so that's what I say, you know, and no disrespect to any job I've had, but I'm like, no offense, I've never had the quote dream job. And I don't even know if the quote dream job exists, because that would actually insinuate that there is something about this job that is so magical that no other job can give us that. And again, that fulfillment that I think you and I are getting at, it's not really about the job. It's actually about the thing that we're doing through the job. So even in my current role, you know, is everything I'm doing from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. exactly within my zone, so to speak? Not necessarily. Right. I mean, there's a chunk of it where I'm like, yeah, this actually feels a lot like work.
Right.
And I don't think it's real that you have a job where it's just from 8 to 5. It is just, man, we are just in the zone, in that right. sweet spot. I think that 70% range, I think that is actually really, really mm-hmm. legit. If you're doing more than half or upwards of 70% of it, like you're in mm-hmm. the zone, I think that's a pretty fulfilling job.
Yes, 100%. And I completely agree with you in that, you know, even in my work, in the coaching consulting space, the parts I do love about it are where I get to develop potential in others. And it's really that underlying.
Right.
Yeah, it's that ability to do that I love. So like you said, there's absolutely aspects, you know, kind of the back office type admin work. No, that's not necessarily as life-giving. But when I get to do the developing of others, at least 70% of the time, I'm in a great place. And so when others can find that, it's amazing what can happen in their work.
Yeah. Yeah. The first thing you said is you talked about reflection, which again, I think is completely, mm-hmm. That has to happen. I think you've heard me speak and I present the, what do you want question? And that's not a question that's just answered one time. I would say to this day, still my wife and I, the number one conversation we have revolves around that right there. You know,
yes.
it's not contemplating like, man, is it time for me to quit my job and find something different? It's just where are we being called into? You know, is really the things that we're doing in our life via job, via money, via with our family in tune with what we feel like we're being called? You know what I'm saying? So that is a constant self-analysis. And that's why I think this message is really cool because, you know, it applies to 18-year-olds. It applies to 80-year-olds, you know.
It does.
and I think there's a myth out there, too. Like, once you retire, it's over, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, I think that's the time where, like, now it's the time where you can really tap into this. You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, I love sure. it. Talk more about, you know, really getting to the core of, you know, who you are and strengths. You know, you mentioned the Myers-Briggs strengths finder. Yes. A lot of people are familiar with that. Talk more about that and kind of what those things can show people.
Yeah. So, and let me break that down a little bit further. So one of the things I love to do in my work is called a leader intensive, where it can be anywhere from 4 to 8 hours with an individual. And we walk through what we call nature, nurture, and choice. And we talk about how all three kind of play a part in how they show up as an individual, but also a part in really their greater purpose as well. And so when we talk about nature, that's when we're talking about those hardwired tendencies. And so again, looking at, you know, Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder, or if people have another assessment they love, whatever that is, but really to start thinking through, you know, how am I wired? Like, what does this look like? What am I good at? And it's so interesting as you talk through this with people, and I personally love seeing just the differences between people and what comes so natural to one person, you know, isn't even on the radar of another. So to really get at what makes me unique, how am I wired, and what does this mean in terms of where I can make my greatest contribution and purpose, realizing that these things are unique to me and others don't possess these as strengths. So looking at the nature side, incredibly helpful. Then nurture, also helpful. And so when I talk through nurture with individuals, I have them use something called a life map tool. But essentially what you're doing is you're walking through your life story, and we go from birth till now. And so we walk through kind of highs and lows and key lessons learned along the way and values picked up. And it's just incredible to see all how these life events have shaped us. And then we talk about choice and just how different choices we make along the way. You know, our choices all have consequences, positive or negative, but also key choices we've made that have also brought us to the point we're at. And then we look at how all three of these come together. And it's just fascinating considering people's stories and seeing, man, you've been hardwired for this. And I'll look at these experiences you've had that have shaped you and now giving you a heart for X. And look at these key choices you've made that has brought us here. And to look at how all these threads of your story can come together and now allow you, you know, to do X or to work in this area. And so it's just fascinating. So bringing together really the purpose they know they have, as well as the passion they have, and executing towards that, I feel like that's when you are really in your sweet spot.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. Do people you work with, do they have a sense of like, I need to change jobs, or I need to change careers, or I just need to do something in my free time that's more impactful? What's generally the response and kind of the result of going through these exercises with people?
I would say it's definitely a mix depending upon where the individual's at. For some, it can very much be where they're at a point of saying, I know my current career. I know my current kind of course I'm on. This is not working. Like, I am not giving my best. This is draining. You know, there's nothing energizing about it. I don't feel I'm working at all in my strengths or working at all towards anything I'm passionate about. So there will be that end of the spectrum to those who are even recognizing, wow, this is why I do love what I get to do, because it is combining what I'm good at, what I'm passionate about. But I want to understand, how can I be even more intentional and apply myself even more in this area to really give my best? So definitely a range, I'd say, depending upon the individual and their situation.
Do you find any, I'm just interested to ask this question, is there is there any tendencies from younger folks compared to the older generation? You know what I mean? Like, we talk a lot about how the baby boomers are so much different than the millennials, and we got Gen, you know, Z coming up. As you work through these exercises with different age ranges, do you see different tendencies, or is it kind of all kind of what you already talked about, kind of the same with just different situations?
You know, I think the same with different situations. I'd say maybe the exception is, it seems maybe the older the individual I work with, the more maybe they've recognized that they don't have life figured out, and that you need to continue to adjust and be open to maybe life looking different than you originally planned for yourself.
Interesting. Yeah, that kind of makes me think about we had John Dan Miller on the show one time, he wrote the book 48 Days to the Work You Love, and he said that he actually enjoys working more with older folks because they have way more life experiences. And kind of piggybacking off what you said, you think when you get to a certain age, you're going to have life figured out. I just turned 40 recently, and I thought 40 was like, that's it, you know. And then you look in the mirror like, I don't have everything figured out. But I would say that you have so much more. You have so much more material to try to reflect on than you do when you're 18, you know. I bet you it is pretty interesting to go through some of these exercises with these folks. Talk more about a leadership. You know, how do these concepts translate into being a leader, whether you're leading a company or leading your family?
Yeah, for sure. So I think in terms of know yourself to lead yourself, a few things come to mind. You know, first is, again, just understanding yourself so you can show up in an authentic way as a leader. I always find it so interesting to talk with different people, and I feel like many people have this perception that, oh, you know, if I'm a leader, you know, quote unquote, like, I need to do this a certain way, or this needs to look a certain way, and I need to show up in a way that fits this mold of what I've envisioned. But really to recognize that leadership's about influence. You know, John Maxwell says it's about influence, nothing more, nothing less. And so to find, how do you do that authentically? How do you show up in the way you've been wired, and then bring the best of that to your leadership? I think it's also really thinking through, with Giant, we talk about these various circles of influence and how leadership, again, because it's influence, it's not just about having a title or position, but we all lead ourselves. And then most of us lead in our family, in a team, organization, community circle. And so really figuring out, knowing my tendencies, knowing how I'm wired, how do I be intentional and really bring my best to each of those circles of influence so that I can be consistent? You know, it's what we don't want to see, you know, in my work with individual leaders is somebody maybe knocking it out of the park in one of those circles of influence, say at work, but at home, they're a disaster. So it's really helping people know themselves so that they can have really the ultimate influence and impact in all of their circles of influence.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I've actually been invited to speak at a couple of leadership events. And what's interesting is my message really isn't about leadership specifically. I'll say, like, if you understand who you are, how you're hardwired, basically an extension of everything you're saying, and you apply that to your life, your work life, your professional, you will be a leader. And I've actually been accused, and I laugh when I say accused of being a leader. Trust me, I do not set out every day to be a leader. I don't. But I think that I understand who I am, and I understand you know what I'm good at, and I try to have that job. I'll never have a job where, like you said, 70% of it I'm just kind of doing mundane work. I'm not going to do that, you know. And so if it's not this job, I'm going to go find something else, and the impact will actually just kind of, it'll flow from that. It's impossible for it not to. You know what I mean? If you have that right mindset, that's great.
Combining with that, I think this idea of knowing who you are and leading from an authentic place, but then also being for those you're leading. Yeah. So whether that's, you know, your spouse, your kids, the team you're leading at work, whoever that is you're leading, when you are genuinely for them, so you're bringing the best of what you have to offer and this mentality that you're for them, again, that's where people, they line up to follow you then, because they feel that, they sense that. So like you said, even if you're not seeking necessarily to be a leader or to be in a leadership position, it will find you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Great, great, great stuff. Very well put. We've got about 30 seconds left. Where can people find more information on what you're doing and your latest business ventures?
Absolutely. They can find more at my website, so www.lynrotz.com, and I would welcome the opportunity to further connect with anyone interested.
Yeah, great stuff. Lynn Rotz, thank you so much for joining me here today. God bless you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jared. So appreciate it. Take care.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Lynn Rotz. Again, her website is lynrotz.com. Her name is spelled L-Y-N-N. R-A-A-T-Z, again, lynrotz.com. Lynn, if you're listening, thank you so much for your testimony and your insight on living with more purpose. Again, you have a great resume of experience to really speak truth into this topic, again, of living with purpose and leading with passion. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. That book is all about defining and finding your new purpose, or what we call your repurpose, once you retire. If you are 55 years or older, I highly recommend you check out that book. You can get the first two chapters of Repurposed if you go to our website right now, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode or any of previous episodes of Repurpose, just visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download this podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta of Tatius Financial Group. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.